Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the one and only, you guessed it, that's right, the man with perfect hair.
What's up, man?
And the coolest guy in the South, Chris.
Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Another wonderful day.
Yes. Beautiful.
Beautiful. It's Friday. Today is Friday. My goodness. And we're glad to be here. Glad to be here with you today. I do want to give a shout out to all of our new VFN Radio listeners joining us today. Randy, Alfredo, Dania, George, Spencer, Teresa, Kevin, Patricia. Every single day. I love it. Thank you, Janet, D, joining and connecting with us as we're connecting with you. I do want to give some shout-outs to Pastor Maria out there in the Bronx. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We'll cover all three for you.
That's right.
Eddie, I'm looking forward to connecting with you.
Yeah, man.
Eddie, I know you're listening this morning. He listens every day, okay? All hours, too. It could be
What's
morning
up,
or evening. He's going to catch VFN Radio now.
That's awesome.
We need to get with these guys on the Saints, all right? We're going to have this, a part two of this.
Man, what are you talking about?
We're going to make this straight, okay? Just don't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't hear no smack.
I do
you got nothing to brag on.
Excuse me?
I said he's got nothing to brag on.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You heard it. And, of course, I'm going to give a shout-out to Abe and Pastor Steve. My goodness. Well, guys, you know, they said that we're going to have snow yesterday. Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were preparing. Mm-hmm. Preparing. Nothing. Nothing. Little rain. Nothing.
Not one flake.
Nothing. But now this morning.
That's another story.
Game changer. Another story. Woke up this morning. See, when you're not expecting it, that is the worst.
Right.
See, when it starts coming down, you look out the window and you realize, I got to clean that car.
Mm-hmm.
I got to clean that driveway. And then, you know, I have I don't have a snow blower. I have the EI Snow Mover 2000.
Say that again.
Elijah and Isaiah.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, my son's like, Dad, where do we get a snowblower? I said, why in the world? Why would I do that?
Those poor guys.
Movers in town.
And they got it going on. I've seen them move some snow, man.
Yeah, for some reason, he didn't find that too funny.
It wasn't funny?
Dude, this is the worst part. It's not a whole lot of snow, maybe about 2 to 3 inches, but this is the worst thing about this type of snow. First of all, it's wet, and it's sticking, and it's kind of sloppy, real slushy.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everything real slick. When there's a lot of snow, most people shut down. They're not going to go to work. Everything is delayed.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets like this, you have a lot of brave souls driving on the road, act like there is no snow on the road.
Right.
So I'm leaving this morning to drop off my son, and as I'm driving in my subdivision, I'm going down the hill. It's not even registering like 5 miles an hour. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm falling down, and the car's just sliding, just completely sliding. I'm thinking this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. I come back, and I gotta come up a hill, and I can't even go up the hill.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking, you know, this is the part of snow that I don't like. I mean, although it looks quite beautiful right now, the driving part can be treacherous.
Mm.
So if you're driving along in the Northeast, please be careful. Pull over if you have to. It's not worth it. It's okay to be late. Call them and tell them you're going to be late.
Mm.
But I also found out, a little God's news behind the news here. Guys, 600,000 people Americans have what is known as a mega commute. Mega commute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you thought you had something to complain about your commute,
no.
These folks, these 600,000 of them, they travel 90 minutes or more.
Wow.
At least 90 minutes to work. That's at least, what, 3 hours a day?
Yeah, at least, depending on traffic.
Exactly. Well, there are some major cities. The distance, they figure, is about 50 miles to get to work. 50 miles. And they're called a mega commute. And normally they're in cities around large cities. Obviously, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., they say New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Which New Orleans threw me off a little bit, but it only represents about 1% of all full-time workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about them is they're more likely to leave before 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, now I could, you know, there was a time that I was commuting, you know, to Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this was crazy. It was like everyone bottlenecks tries to go into, I mean, these cars are coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're bottlenecking into these tunnels, and they're crisscrossing. I mean, it's nightmarish. And you think, mm-hmm. how many cars come in the road at 6 a.m.? Let me tell you, a lot. It was a battle getting in. And then, of course, when it's time to leave, it's a battle getting out, because mm-hmm. everyone's trying to race out.
Right. Wow. I can imagine what that's like.
Dude.
Not even imagine.
I understand why people get comfortable cars, nice systems. We're going to be here for a while. They said New York has the highest percentage. It's actually 16% of its workers, which is higher than the average percent.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, have this long commute. They said that about 11 million people do this commute, but pretty crazy. Let's see what else. They said that most of them, about 80% of them,
mm-hmm.
drove their own cars, 10% carpooled, and the 5%. Took public transportation or rode a bike. Now that's interesting. I don't think I would ever ride a bike to work, but 5% of them rode a bike. But you know, for all those that are commuting, don't forget if you're commuting, download VFN Radio on your phone. Enjoy that commute with VFN Radio, and you can take VFN Radio on the go. Just go ahead and You know what? I know that you're concerned about hearing on your phone and drive. You can get Bluetooth devices, all kinds of devices, wireless, that'll help you drive and enjoy that commute. And you know what? I had the chance of have two different types of commute. I had a commute that took me 40, 50 minutes sometimes. And then I had a commute one time that took me about 8 minutes. And I didn't like the 40, 50 minute commute at first, and then you start realizing when I had the 8 minutes, I just walked out of my place of employment and I blinked my eye and I'm home, like zero transition. You know what
I'm
saying? Right. That hour transition could be a little nice when you're just kind of, you know, with God there listening, VFN mm-hmm. radio, encouraging yourself on the Lord. You know, make that time work for you. That's not wasted time. If you think about it, 3 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is the average commuter, it's about 25 minutes. So that's an hour a day,
mm-hmm.
right? 20 hours a week. I mean, no, what is it? That's 5 hours a week. If you work 5 days, work week schedule, 20 hours a month. Yeah, imagine what you can be feeling.
Exactly.
You know, spirit and encouragement for 20 hours a month.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good.
Listen to VFN Radio. Be connected, be informed, and be inspired. Also, I want to share in God's News Behind the News. You know, infamous mayor here in New York City is known for being kind of a nanny patrol right now with, especially with soda. For some reason, I guess large sodas, it's a major, major problem these days. I just don't have to ban them. I don't understand.
Yeah, they're dangerous to society.
I mean, dangerous. So dangerous, we have to ban them in New York. Ban them.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Assault rifles and soda.
And soda. No more. It's just it's a detriment to the citizens of New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, this is so sad today in the news. A news report just came out that said 80% of recent New York City high school graduates cannot read. 80%.
80? Wow.
I mean, that is a tragedy. A tragedy. They're reporting that the students that they're finding when they're going to college and community college, they're not prepared. 80% of those who graduate from city high schools arrive at the city's university community college system without having mastered the skills to do college level work. Mm. You're looking at about 11,000 kids in the school system, and you think about, listen, instead of worrying about Coca-Cola and Pepsi, I mean, let's help these children to read so that they can be prepared when they're getting their education. And listen, you know, not being able to read, that's pretty huge. That's a big deal. And I sympathize with some people who aren't, you know, didn't learn or didn't have the ability to learn or have a learning disability. You know, but that is one of the great things that you can do is to learn how to read, especially because you're going to want to read your Bible. You're going to want to read your Bible. It so encourages my grandmother. She had a very limited education. She had like a fourth grade level education. But one thing she learned how to read. And she loves to read her Bible. I mean, she loves to read her word. But we got to help everyone that can. And when I look at, you know, a mayor that's so busy policing and putting surveillance cameras everywhere and worrying about Coca-Cola, and yet we have 80% of the children in New York, they can't read. While it's, you know, one of the wealthiest cities in the world, not the nation, it's a huge financial capital. If you just understood the gobs,
wow,
and gobs of just, you know, money that's in New York City, it's crazy, and yet the children are not being able to equip to have the skills necessary, not to be rocket scientists, not to be engineers,
right,
but to be able to read. I just thought that was interesting because. Because also, right now, in North Carolina, to contrast the point here, there was a Senate bill that looks like is going to allow students to be able to, as an elective course in North Carolina.
Say that again?
Right now, it looks like the students, it just passed the bill. It's a Senate bill 138.
Uh-huh.
And looks like in North Carolina, the students in high school now are going to be able to take an elective course on their own about the Bible.
Oh, wow.
In school. I mean, how cool is that?
That is awesome.
I want you to listen to this segment. We'll be right back.
Writing and religion. Tempers flare over proposed legislation that could put the Bible back in public schools, this time for a letter grade. It would be an elective course, not mandatory, but that doesn't make the bill any less controversial. Just check out Mo's Facebook page. Thanks for joining us. I'm Israel Balderas.
And I'm Morgan Fogarty. The proposal has bipartisan support. In our top story, we talk with one of the Democrats co-sponsoring this bill. He says this is a positive thing for all of North Carolina. Students in grades 9 through 12 may soon be able to take a Bible study course for credit in public high schools as early as next school year. Senate Bill 138 calls for an elective course on the Old Testament, New Testament, or a combo of both that maintains religious neutrality, and one that doesn't endorse, favor, or promote any particular religion. Students would learn about biblical characters, poetry, and stories. The goal? Better understanding of today's society by reflecting on the past. It's being sponsored by 17 legislators, including Democrat Gene McLaurin.
And I feel the opportunity for future generations to gain wisdom and knowledge from the Bible is a real positive for North Carolinians.
McLaurin says this is an issue above party politics. He says only a few of his constituents have expressed concerns.
There's no intent to show any hostility toward any other religion.
The topic is generating lots of debate. Stephen says, great idea. Don't see how anyone could complain since it's an option. James argues, if you're going to teach an elective class on religion, how about...
You know, this is so powerful. What's happening? Because... I mean, think about it. The Bible, listen, this is what happens when we put politics aside, right?
Yeah.
And you come across the aisle and you do something that really matters. 17 politicians, 17 legislators come together and they say, listen, we're going to put this bill. And I love what Gene McLaren says, what he says. I feel the opportunity for the future generations to gain wisdom and knowledge from the Bible is a real positive for North Carolinians.
Right.
We need this. This is awesome. Yeah, this is good. This is so good. But I didn't know this, that there's about 500 public schools in 43 states today, right? Mm-hmm. But Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee already are offering the Bible as an elective.
Oh, wow.
They're already offering the Bible as an elective.
This is in high school.
This is in high school.
Wow.
And you know, it's so important because you know what? Right now, they're talking about, this is not even, you know, I don't see this, how anyone can see this as a bad thing. You have, you know, children in middle school right now are learning about countries, and with every country that they're learning in, you know, they're teaching them about what their God was, mm-hmm. you know, what they served. Mm-hmm. You know, all around, they're already introducing other religions and other gods already to these children. Mm-hmm. Why not just allow them to have the Bible there? Why not? And it's an elective. They get to choose to do it, and they get a letter grade.
Wow. Beautiful.
How awesome is that? Can reading the Bible for your child be wrong?
Yeah.
With everything else that they can get their hands on.
Mm.
Believe you me, if I lived in North Carolina, I'd be like, son, that's one course you're going to take.
That's right. That's not elective, buddy.
that's not an elective, and you better get in there right now.
That's right.
But that's one course you're gonna take. How powerful would it be if the kids started out? How powerful would it be if we return prayer back to school?
For this country, I'm
beautiful.
You.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you kick God out, I love, Chris, I think you told us this, that the day about... after the Newtown shooting and people were on Mike Huckabee's show, mm-hmm. do you remember what they told him about God? So where was God? Where was God?
Oh yeah. They started asking. So where's your God now? Now that this tragedy's taking place, yeah. You know, and it's like, well, he's right where you put him. He's up. He's on the shelf or on the back burner.
It's right where you put him. You kicked God out. You said prayer couldn't be done, and you know, a silent prayer no less.
Mm.
And it's like, come on now. Do we wonder why things are happening? So really, kudos to North Carolina and to the other states that are doing this. They had no idea, and it's our prayer that this will spread around across the country. Fantastic. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that He is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that He can. And He wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive.
Mm-hmm.
That with each word as I read, each verse I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. And you're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God. If I've heard this once, I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We're just talking about how North Carolina is going to be offering and allowing their students in high school the opportunity to take an elective course, the Bible. Mm. The Bible.
Awesome.
Absolutely awesome. It was so good to see how politicians from both sides of the parties were able to come together and say, hey, we're going to do this, you know. And I think that people are starting to recognize that we need to help our children. I mean, things are happening right now. They're seeing everything that these young people have to face. And I have to tell you that with this social media and the internet, there's great technology and there's great opportunities available, and we can learn and do a greater number of things that we couldn't do before. But also, there's a whole lot of other junk that comes along with it. And we need to help our children and guard them and protect them. And we need to protect their innocence. And it's okay to put safeguards and regulations. And it's okay to limit the media intake that's out there. Because right now, it's a 24/7 media and the type of programming and channels that are available today.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't even available, I would dare say, 7, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you can get so many with just dumb, and not even, it doesn't even have to be evil. There's just some dumb programming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just intaking dumb stuff when you can use that time more constructively. So, like, I'm all for, believe it or not, I am all for the Bible in school.
I can't imagine.
You can't imagine. Well, you know, we were talking about on VFN Radio, how Hugo Chavez, the oppressive leader of Venezuela, died at the age of 58. He passed away of cancer. And so there's, mourning in the streets, and there was one lady I saw being interviewed saying, "Father, father, father, he's a father, he's a father, father."
Oh my goodness.
And the vice president announced that they're going to put him in some sort of glass enclosure now where anybody can see him. I don't know, maybe indefinitely or something.
What?
But they're gonna make it available where anybody can see him, and you just think about, wow, all this adoration, and then I find out, and this is sad, that there's a lot of things that have been unknown. You know, there's things that we knew and there's things that we didn't know. And obviously now he's passed away, more things are kind of surfacing and coming alive. More people are talking about it. But I didn't know this, that, you know, Venezuela has very rich oil reserves, very, very rich oil reserves. And they have Citgo that, you know, you get gas here. That's a Venezuelan-owned company, the state, not private companies, not like Exxon or, you know. Mm-hmm. The state is the one that actually owns the oil, right? Well, I didn't know this. I didn't know this. But did you know how much the Venezuelan people pay per gallon of gas? Would you like to know? Just humor me. Take a wild
guess.
Sure,
it's probably cheap. You know, a couple bucks.
Couple bucks?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Try again.
I mean, it's in their backyard. I mean, how expensive could it be?
Well, it's not expensive. But they actually pay $4
a gallon.
Not $4. 4 cents.
What?
Not one, not two, not three, but 4 cents a gallon.
Oh, my God.
So,
are you serious?
You give me four cents a gallon, I might be calling you
Father,
too.
I know where I'm
going
to get my gas. Oh, my goodness.
I might be calling you Father, too, but 4 cents. 4 cents a gallon. And they say that there's a common belief in Venezuela and other oil exporting nations, right? This is according to CNN Money, that that since oil is a national resource, that citizens have every right to use it cheaply. You know, they have every right; it's their right to use it cheaply. And so, what happens is that they just pass off, you know, the cost to all of us who are importing it,
mm-hmm.
and countries like us, we don't appreciate that. They say it's wasteful consumption. People just getting it, you know, just burning it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And to the tune of the organization that tracks it, these subsidies total about $200 billion worldwide. All this basically free gas that they're giving, and it's gotten so bad in Venezuela because their population is growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten so bad that now Venezuela must import now a quarter of the gas it uses, which I don't understand how they import it since they have all these oil reserves. But
according
to CNN Money, they import a quarter of the gas, and most of it, believe it or not, says, and most of these imports come from the United States. Don't understand that either. But listen to what they say. Say, how do you import gasoline at $100 a barrel and then sell it at $5 a barrel? I mean, they're taking huge losses and they're subsidizing, basically giving it for free.
Hmm.
You think about it, you're just giving all this stuff for free. Yeah, man, anybody will love you. The question is, will you love me if I don't give you anything? You know what I'm saying? You know? What child? I mean, if you buy somebody's love, I get a Happy Meal every day. You take me to Disney World. Especially little small children, you can be so manipulated. You know, I'll give you gum. I love you. And another person says, I'll give you this. I love you too. You know, and it's like, come on now. And now they're wondering, you know, will they stop giving them all this gas? Got new interim president and supposedly going to be voting for a president.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time, this goes to show you what all this just kind of just free stuff just does in a way. The last time the government in Venezuela tried to cut it off, we're going to cut these off, in 1989, there were riots and the military was called in. Like, you are not going to take away my gas.
Oh my goodness.
You're not going to take away my gas. So what happens when you have a socialistic government? This is what you're looking at.
Hello?
This is what you're looking
Hello?
At, where the people become so dependent, it's a right, and you look to the government to supply all of their needs.
That's right.
Feed me, take care of me, educate me, and it's like, wait
you're
a second.
Setting yourself up for a fall. Mm-hmm. Big one.
Setting yourself up on the fall. Setting yourself up. Mm. And it's like, come on. You know what I mean? People need to turn to God.
Exactly.
We need any government that is oppressive in nature, that has people that wants to, you know, has people turning to them instead of turning to God, is not good. That's why communism was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The same type of concept. And so our prayer is that the Venezuelan people will begin to cry out to God like never before, and that a new day will arise, and that revival will spread the land, and there'll be a major outpouring in Latin America.
Yes.
And my goodness, how beautiful will it be? How beautiful would it be for it to start in Venezuela?
Mm.
How beautiful would that be?
Beautiful.
So fantastic. We want you to share that and keep our prayers with them and with those folks as they're going through, you know, major transition. Everything's kind of unstable. When someone rules with an iron hand like that, you know, now there's a vacuum of power, if you will.
Something's going to stand in, jump in there.
Something's going to jump in, and let's just hope that this week, I mean, as believers, we can contend. We can really pray that God will have his way, that God will have his way. And so very, very excited for the opportunities and the possibilities. Mm.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know, guys, I was reading just the other day about the Canaanite woman, and I kind of looked at this a totally different way than before, because this passage always bothered me. And I'll just read it. And we're talking about the Canaanite woman. This is in Matthew 15. It says, the Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Jesus crying out. She says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.
Mm.
And then Jesus didn't say a word. So his disciples came to him and said, God, just send her away. She just keeps crying out after us. And Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman came again, knelt before him this time, and says, Lord, help me, she said. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.
Mm.
And then she says, yes, Lord, she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
Mm.
And then Jesus replies, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.
Wow.
And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You know, when you first read this, and I've read it, you know, many, many times, and it was just like, God, really? Did you have to be that rough with her? Was that necessary? But as I looked more into this, everything Jesus did was for a reason. He was always teaching, always teaching, whether he was speaking with his mouth or he was saying nothing at all,
mm-hmm.
which is just totally interesting, this whole segment here. First of all, I got to think about it. This is a Canaanite woman, which was not a Jew, okay?
Right.
And back in those days, you know, non-Jews were considered just, you know, scum of the earth. You know what I'm saying? They just were not, they didn't associate with them. They wanted to do with them. They were looked down on. And you look at this woman, and she knew this, obviously. I mean, she probably was ridiculed for years. You know, they just brought up that way.
Right.
You know, stay away from the Jews. They don't like us. Just, you know, mm-hmm. don't mess with them. You know, which we could probably relate to a lot of that today, today's time. But she didn't let that stop her. She knew this man had what she needed. She wanted healing for her daughter. And she knew that Jesus had the answer. So her persistence, think about it. She didn't let Jesus' silence stop her when she first cried out. She didn't let the disciples' response stop her because they weren't real happy about the whole thing. They were trying to get rid of her. And she came back even after Jesus responded to her, which when you first look at it, it didn't seem like it was a very favorable. It was like, wow, Jesus is blowing her off. But no, he was actually testing everybody. I mean, it was like the whole thing was a test. You know, how is she going to be persistent enough to keep coming? Are the disciples going to have any type of, are they going to have any empathetic bone in their body?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about it.
Right.
You know, and just the whole thing was just a huge lesson plan. But her persistence, that's what really got me out of this. She didn't let any of those things stop her. She knew that Lord, you know, even dogs eat from the master's table. And Jesus was just blown away by her faith. He says, daughter, your daughter's healed. You know what I'm saying?
Just like that.
Just like that. Mm. It's your faith, your faith. And we talked about this the other day. Mm-hmm. It's your faith that got the healing.
Right.
Mm. You know, right. It was going to require something from her. Mm-hmm. Not just Jesus, you know, saying something and it was going to happen. It required something from her.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes people think that, well, I'll just pray for it once. God knows what I need. And if I keep praying, then that shows my lack of faith.
Exactly.
Which is the contrary, because when you have faith, you're locked in. You've received it, and you know, you received it and you're praying it out and you're being persistent. I think about the woman who went to the judge. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this woman's gonna slap wear me out. She is and Lord says that if an evil judge, wicked judge, you don't care, you know, if he doesn't care about this woman just because he didn't want her to wear her out, he answered. How much more am I going to, you know, come on now.
Exactly. And also you think about, she could have just got offended by the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How many times have we gotten offended by just the slightest thing and we're like, whatever.
Right.
And off we go. You know, we're stoned off. Ain't going to talk to me like that.
Right.
How many people miss God?
She could have missed
because
it.
Of offense. I mean, that's a huge, huge. Listen, we have several segments on the torch. I encourage you, VFMTV.com, go to the torch and just look up offense, offended, because so many people miss out, I mean, on huge, huge mega blessings for God, because that's just a tool of the enemy. You just get hit with the offense, you get locked up, froze up, and that wall goes, boop, straight up.
Harder. Yep.
And who loses?
Yeah.
You lose.
That's right.
You lose it. She didn't get offended.
Didn't get offended. She had every opportunity. Mm. Jesus not saying nothing to her. The disciples blowing her off. Being called a dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Called a dog.
Can you think about that? I don't know if I could handle that. I'd be like, never mind.
Right.
Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Persistent.
I admire this woman. It's just amazing, her persistence.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and we
in spite
just
of all that.
We can't, you know, we can't give up, and you know, just because it's like, well, I prayed three times I prayed for it, and it did, like, really?
It's
like, what do you mean? Three whole prayers, three Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I prayed, and it did not happen.
Think about it. Sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
Or not at all.
But if you contend mm-hmm. with faith, and you move in faith, and you believe God in faith, ask, seek, and knock,
mm-hmm.
right? Those who, you know, if you ask, you, there's three steps there. There's asking, there's a seeking, mm-hmm. right? You know, and there is a knocking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a persistent going after God. It's a persistent believing that what God said can happen will happen. What God said is going to happen is going to happen in your life.
Right.
But you got to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get engaged. You know, walking with Jesus is not a spectator sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people are sitting on the sidelines and they're watching other people have encounters with God. They're watching other people get healed. They're watching other people get blessed. Mm-hmm. They're watching other people hear God's voice and see it radically change. And they're seeing all of this stuff, and it's like they're tagging along like reality TV, and they're trying to throw themselves in the midst, but they're not doing it.
Right.
And it's like, why settle to tag along? Why settle, like we say, you know, why eat another man's groceries?
Yeah.
You know, why read one more devotional of what somebody else has experienced with God? When if you're a believer, the same God that was in them speaking to them is the same God that's in you speaking, could speak to you, or is speaking to you, if we would tune our ears to what he is saying.
Right. You know, just in the very definition of faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.
Right.
You know, and just because you don't see it within, after a prayer or two or three, you know, how many people just give up praying? They stop praying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and because they're not seeing it. Well, that's just the total opposite of faith.
Right.
You know, it's being certain of what you do not see.
Yeah. We're so accustomed to that microwave generation. We think things should just happen instantly.
Instantly, right. And it just doesn't work that way, you know, because God tests your faith you know, over and over. You know, you've been talking about the Bible miniseries, you know, over the last couple of days, and I actually got to watch it last night because I recorded it.
Oh, cool.
You know, and you look at Abraham's life, God continued to test his faith.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and even to the point to, you know, when he told him to go sacrifice Isaac on the mountain, he's like, Lord, have I not shown you enough faith? Mm. Have I not shown you enough? But God requires more.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, up to what point are you going to believe me?
Right.
You know, what, you know, are you going to stop believing me for this?
Right.
Because you don't see it, or because you get blessed so many times, are you going to stop believing? Mm-hmm. Are you going to stop, you know, continuing to love me? You know?
Yeah.
And it was just a very powerful moment. You know, it's like God continues, you know, because, you know, and God knows our heart. He's wanting us to see what's in our heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah,
you know,
he's not looking for something.
Right.
He's
right.
not trying to find something he don't know.
Exactly.
He's wanting us to find out.
That's right.
I just actually saw this quote last night, and the quote was, never insult God with small thinking and safe living. The life of faith is a life of certain uncertainty.
That's good.
But if you have God, faith in God, you know it's all going to work out. We'll be right back.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do, and he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off, so I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about, and I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. That they had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live
9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in this first hour is Pat and Chris. And we were just talking about, my goodness, the Canaanite woman. Yeah. I tell you, I think about it because she didn't get offended. We're still talking about her.
Exactly. Her name was written offended, in the Bible. Yeah.
We wouldn't even be talking about her amazing faith and what it's going to take to move on with God.
That's right.
Well, I want to talk about, you know, God has so created us to be social and to interact. That's part of, you know, how he's made us. And, it, you know, some of us are more social than others, but even the least social person is still designed within them to have communication, to interact, to be social, to express thoughts and ideas and to hear and to listen, and they're edified and encouraged when they hear. You know, no man's an island. You won't survive as a recluse, right?
Yeah.
You know, there are some, right, but that's not a norm. If you look at the norm, we're social, we're interactive creations. And look at social networking and look at everything that's happening now. I mean, everyone is just like communicate, and more communicate.
Right.
But God put that inside of us, not so much so that we can communicate with others. And that's good. And he does want that. But he doesn't want that at the expense of us not benefiting and enjoying communion with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were designed to commune with God. I mean, that alone is mind-blowing. That alone. You know, pause on that for 24 hours and get back with me tomorrow, you know? Mm-hmm. That God, the creator and manager of the universe, heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. Mm-hmm. He's put the stars in their place. God gives us access and gives us opportunity to commune. Titus 2:14, speaking of Jesus, says he gave himself for us. Why? To redeem us from all wickedness, right? He got us out of all of the wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I mean, he saved us, and God was looking for a people. He was looking for a people to think that we all have the opportunity to touch the heart of God. And I've thought about this before many, many years, and it's just something that just never left me. But I just think here about, imagine, play with me here for a little bit, that God has this huge mega heart, right? And that each person has the ability to touch God's heart in a way that it gets lit. God has real emotions. He feels emotions. But if those that don't know him don't touch his heart, that's a portion of God's heart that doesn't get touched. Mm. That God himself cannot be touched. Mm. We often think of our need to commune with God, but God wants to and desires to commune with us. Mm-hmm. And that's a paradigm shift that many of us, I think, need to embrace, that God desires this. He enjoys my company. He enjoys your company. You are God's treasured possession. He doesn't want robots. Mm-mm. He says, you can't even come to me unless you choose to come to me. I refuse to force you. Mm. You got to choose to be with me.
That's something.
Because it's a relationship. Mm. And this fellowship involves prayer. It involves communing. But it also gives us the opportunity. Prayer, what prayer does, gives us access. Prayer is the doorway to which how we can commune with God. It just opens that right up. And I think many times, we can have a default setting when it comes to prayer. One of those default settings is that the communication is one way. I do all the talking. God does all the listening. Right? Mm-hmm. You give God the laundry list. Got all, asking for myself, for others, and bless them too. Give them a little bit too, God. Mm-hmm. But I think that the default setting on many people is just prayer is, I just do the talking. I just got to talk to God. I just got, I got to do all the asking. And he does the listening. And of course, the responding, doing what I ask him to do. And it's not like that. It's not like that. Because in terms of communion with God, we fail to recognize that there's an exchange of thoughts. That's what communion is. It's an exchange of thoughts. It's talking. And understanding that God desires to speak to us. He desires to speak to us. I mean, that's what communion is. Is an exchange of thoughts, ideas, words. So that means that we're speaking, but it also means that God's speaking. Mm-hmm. It also means that we're sharing our thoughts, but it also means that God shares his thoughts. Mm. When you think that God wants to share his thoughts with you, and then you think about the word that says, people say, well, I don't have time. You don't have time for God to share his thoughts with you. He wants to share his will. He wants to share his ways, his truth, his direction, his guidance, his wisdom, his knowledge, not just for us, but he wants to share with us so that we can help unlock and help others, right? Mm-hmm. And God's so much into this fellowship and into this communion that we don't have to go far to look for. We can go right back in the beginning. The Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden. Mm-hmm. He hung out with Adam. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
And God's designed us to hear his voice and to commune with him. When we get back in the extra hour, we're going to talk about his voice. We're going to talk about communing with him. We're going to be talking about living a spirit-led life. It's going to be so, so awesome.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.